Hi, this is John DeLancey, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Cinema Geeks. I am one of your Cinema Geeks, Optimus Solo, and joining me for today's fun record is Ladies First Hard Candy Mandy.
Hey!
Excitement, I can tell. Yeah. You're ready to make your picks. Movie Revolt Dan, hello.
Hello.
And shining his crystal ball to see in the future, Mr. Fridley Scent, hello.
This one's going to be the fun one.
So what we're doing today here on Cinema Geeks, if you haven't been paying attention the last couple episodes when we've been previewing it here, we're getting into box office for 2018. So we're going to look back at our predictions from 2017, see who reigned supreme in their predictions last year, and then we're going to get into our predictions for 2018. So it's kind of part of that turning the page to the new year. Amanda, quick question for you before we start revealing the results from last year. Do you even remember anything you predicted last year?
I think Beauty and the Beast was at the top.
You think you predicted Beauty and the Beast towards the top?
I think so. That's all I remember.
Dan, how are you feeling? What do you think your chances are?
I know I got number one and number two correct, and I was the only one that got Coco in the top 15. So I don't know if that helps me or not, but we'll see.
All right, so he's sounding confident. Matt, what do you remember from last year's predictions?
Well, I actually opened my my list to start a new Excel for this one, mm-hmm. So it was just easy to use. So, like, I can see my list. Some of them I got right. A lot of them I did not.
All right, so it's going to be interesting. How I'm going to do this, guys, I'm going to reveal the actual box office top 15 from last year, starting at 15. And every time I talk about a movie, I will mention where it was on all of our lists. And then towards the end, we'll get at the ones that we missed that weren't in the top 15 to see who had some of those on their rankings. So ending up at 15th at the box office for 2017 is the film Get Out. Get Out was not on any of our lists. So we all miss out on Get Out. I don't even know if I knew that was a thing at the time when we made our predictions. Dan, were you aware of the movie Get Out when we did this?
Yeah, it was on my most anticipated. I never thought it would make that much. I mean, I remember looking at Keanu, that didn't do that well. And, you know, it was a horror film, so I didn't, you know, I didn't even consider it. So it was, I was looking forward to watching it, but I didn't think it'd make a lot of money. So
yeah. So snuck in there all the way up to $175 million. One of only two films in the top 15 that didn't crack the 200 mark. The other one, obviously, would be number 14. And that was a film that I think a lot of us thought about, but nobody put number 14 on their list either. That would be Dunkirk at $188 million. Dan, how close were you to putting that one in your top 15?
I debated between that and Blade Runner, and I went with Blade Runner, and I regret it. So there you go.
All right, so 0 for 2 so far from all of us with the 15 and the 14th pick. Number 13 at the box office in 2017, breaking that 200 million mark, is the aforementioned Coco. And Dan, like you mentioned, you were the only person that had Coco on a list of any kind. You had it at number 4. So Coco number 13, you had it at number 4, but that's better than any of us had it. So an animated spot there at the number 13. Amanda, did you miss out by not putting Coco on your list?
I don't know. I still need to see it. I really want to.
All right. Fair enough. Number 12 at the box office last year with, again, above 200 million. This one was 226, just barely 12th. 12th and 11th were within a various, actually 12th, 11th, and 10th. Or within like $1 million. So number 12 was Fate of the Furious, $226 million.
I forgot that shit even came out this year.
Last year. So Fate of the Furious is number 12. I had Fate of the Furious in the 9th position. Dan, you had Fate of the Furious in the 6th position. Amanda, 6th position. And Matt, you had it in at number 5. So I guess technically I was the closest getting that right, but we all at least had it in the top 15. Moving on to the one that just barely passed by it, at number 11, also in the 226 million mark. How about a comic book film that nobody on the panel put in their top 15? This is Logan at number 11. Matt, what were we thinking?
That the other Wolverine movies were bad.
Amanda, can you imagine or can you wrap your head around the fact that none of us put Logan in our top 15?
No, that's, yeah, no. No.
All right. Number 10 at the box office last year, $227 million, so just, again, a million ahead of Fate of the Furious and Logan, would be Justice League, or as Amanda calls it,
The Juice.
The Justice League. So that was number 10 overall at the box office. I had Justice League up at the fourth spot. Dan, you had it at number 10. So perfect pick from you for what? Justice League. Absolutely. Amanda, you had it at 12, so only two spots off. And Matt, you had it at 4 like I did. So a little too high on Matt and I's list. Amanda and Dan, right in the ballpark. Dan, how do you feel about being the first one to nail one right on the nose?
Oh, it's an amazing feeling.
Yeah. I'm jealous. I wanted it to be me.
No, it could only be one, and it was Dan. All right, number 9th at the box office in 2017, $264 million. Another animated pick. This is where Despicable Me 3 landed, 9th at the box office. I had Despicable Me 3 at the 5th spot. Dan had it at number 8, so missed it by that much. Amanda, number 2. Not quite that high. And Matt, number 3. So a bunch of us had it in the top 5. Dan was the closest at number 8. Dan, are you liking your chances so far?
Maybe. Because I know I had a few that did not, I had up higher that did not make it in the top 15. So that's what I'm worried about.
All right. We'll have to see how that turns out. Number 8 at the box office last year, another comic book film, and our first film to break the $300 million mark. Number 8 ended up being Thor Ragnarok at $313 million. So number 8.
Ragnarok.
I can't say it the right way.
Ragnarok.
So that was number 8. I had Thor at 12. Dan, 11. Amanda, 8. You hit that one on the nose.
Boom!
All right. And Matt, 11. So we were all fairly close with Thor, but not as close as Amanda, I guess. Amanda, feeling good?
Yes.
All right. Let's move to another film that nobody had in their top 15. That would be the number 7th film at the box office last year, which is the movie It, at $327 million. So, Amanda, we didn't have Get Out and we didn't have It. Do we just not have enough respect for the horror films?
Apparently not.
Dan, surprised that It was in the top 10?
I shouldn't have been, but yeah. I think the R rating scared me away too much from some movies, including Logan. So I think that's a big reason I didn't include it. But I think we're seeing, like, that doesn't mean much that doesn't mean anything anymore. So.
All right. So we all missed on It. That's the fourth film that none of us had on the top 15. So coming on in at number 6 at the box office last year, another comic book film, we have Spider-Man Homecoming, which brought in $334 million. So Spider-Man Homecoming, number 6 at the box office. For some reason, I put that at number 2. A little bit more wishful thinking, I guess, for that one. Dan, you had it at number 5, so only missed that one by 1. Amanda, you had it at 7, so also only missed it by 1, just on the other side. And Matt, you had Spider-Man at number 10, so just off by 4. So we were all off either 1 or 4 on Spider-Man, so not much ground being gained or lost by anybody there. Spider-Man number 6, how about a top 5 movie that nobody had on their list? And this is the one that shook up all the standings. If I would have just gone with the standings as of like December compared to now, be completely different, because Jumanji, the powerhouse that we all slept on, I guess, number 5 last year at the box office, $344 million.
Seems ridiculous.
You think it's ridiculous?
It seems ridiculous.
Dan, did we underestimate the power of The Rock?
Not based upon Baywatch, so... I think we underestimated the power of 90s nostalgia, because I think that certainly played a key role into that movie. So.
Yeah, I just wasn't thinking Jurassic World and Jumanji. Like, I didn't put those two in the same type of phenomenon. I know Jumanji didn't make Jurassic World money, but you're right, that 90s nostalgia, if you hit the right film, I guess you do well on that. But stay away from the 70s nostalgia, because Chips, not so good. That was 70s, right? Or early 80s? Something like that.
70s.
All right. So Jumanji...
Well, wait.
Go ahead.
Like, if you're counting on 90s nostalgia, Baywatch was a 90s TV show, so you can't even base it on that.
Maybe it's just 90s movie nostalgia. Maybe that's it. Maybe you got to stay away from the TV. I don't know. Let's move on to number four at the box office last year. Guess what? Another comic book film. Number four at the box office last year with 389 mil, Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 2. Number four at the box office. I had Guardians at number three. Dan had Guardians at number three. Amanda had Guardians at number three. Matt, you had Guardians at number two.
Whoops.
Yeah, all pretty close. So all within 1 point of each other on Guardians. How about the highest comic book grossing film of the year, though, at number three, Wonder Woman, $412 million. We might have missed a little bit on that. So that means Wonder Woman was at number three. I had Wonder Woman at number eight. Dan, you had Wonder Woman at 12. Amanda, you had Wonder Woman at 14. And Matt, you had Wonder Woman at 12. So Matt, do we all just look foolish, or was that the shock of all shocks that Wonder Woman beat out Guardians, Spider-Man, Thor, and Justice League?
Honestly, like, I wouldn't put it above all of those movies. Like, so even after having seen it, I probably wouldn't have guessed it as high as it ended up being. I mean, it's real good. I don't know. Was it a draw from female viewers that were less common at the other ones? I don't know.
Dan, what do you attribute Wonder Woman's success there at the box office being one of three films that grossed more than $400 million?
I think, you know, representation certainly played a big impact. You know, I think people – Wonder Woman is an iconic hero. She's one of DC's biggest three, though. It's weird that Justice League didn't, pan out. And also I think it's like people really wanted a good DC movie again, and they got it with that, so – I mean, I was happy to be wrong. My only concern was why I didn't put it higher. It's just my lack of faith in DC more than my lack of faith in the actual film. So,
yeah,
I got that one completely. I guess, I mean, still in top 15, but I didn't think it would crush it as much as it did.
Yeah, I think that was a surprise. Amanda, were you also surprised by Wonder Woman outdoing all those at the box office?
Yeah, slightly. I think that I was a little leery coming off of Batman vs. Superman hate.
Mm-hmm.
But it paid off in the end for the film anyways.
Yeah, I don't know of anybody back, a couple years ago that would have believed you if you would have told them that Wonder Woman was going to outgross Justice League at the box office, but it really wasn't even close. So that leaves only two spots left. Number two at the box office in 2017 with $504 million would be none other than the live-action version of Beauty and the Beast. So an early 2017 film reigned supreme all the way up until the end. Beauty and the Beast came in at number two. I had Beauty and the Beast at number seven. Dan hit it right on the head, number two. Amanda, you had Beauty and the Beast number four.
I did.
And Matt, you had it at number eight. So we all had Beauty and the Beast in the top 10, just none of us had it as perfect as Dan. So another one right on the nose, Dan. You're still feeling good about the ones that we've revealed. We still got to wait and see about those other ones that were on your list, though. Number one, obviously, at the box office last year was Star Wars The Last Jedi with $612 million, and I believe all of us had it at number one, so that's kind of a wash on that one. So, those are the top 15. We only had five films we missed completely with Get Out, Dunkirk, Logan, It, and Jumanji, and then the one film that Dan was the only one that had, which would have been Coco. So, let's go over what else made up our top 15 films. Let's start the closest ones out. So the closest one that we got wrong would have been the Lego Batman movie, which ended up at 16th. I had Lego Batman at 6. Dan, you had Lego Batman at 7. Amanda, you had Lego Batman at 11. And Matt, you had that at 7. So we all had Lego Batman in the top 15. It just missed because of the late surge by Jumanji and ended up in the 16th spot. Dan, are you surprised that as far as the order of the animated films, maybe? We have Despicable Me 3 at 9, Coco 13, Lego Movie 16, and actually right behind that by less than $1 million was The Boss Baby.
Yeah, I remember looking earlier in the year and seeing Boss Baby as high as it was. I'm like, I really underestimated that baby. And then also got an Oscar nomination, oddly enough. Yeah, I mean, I think I fooled myself because I put Lego Batman is the highest grossing DC film because I thought that would be funny, but ended up not happening. So I was
definitely didn't recapture that Lego movie magic. I mean, it still did well. 175 million is nothing to sneeze at. So that reveals the 16th and 17th, which was Lego Batman Boss Baby. Obviously, none of us had Boss Baby on the list, but we, a couple of us had number 18 on the list, which would have been Pirates of the Caribbean at 172 million. So that came in the 18th spot. I had Pirates at 13. Dan, you did not have Pirates listed. Amanda, you had Pirates at 5, and Matt at 6. So it came in at 18th. So that shows you where we lined up on that one. Number 19 at the box office was Kong Skull Island. And a few people had Kong Skull Island. I had it at 14. Amanda, you had it at 13. And we were the only two that had Kong Skull Island. So not too far off. How are you feeling about that one? Yeah? Just eh? All right. Cars 3 came in at number 20. And a few people had Cars 3 listed as well. So I had Cars 3 at 15th. And Matt, you had Cars 3 at 13th. So came in at 20. Not too bad. It could be worse. The 21st at the box office was also appearing on some of our list. Number 21 was War for the Planet of the Apes. I had that at 11. Dan, you had it at 14. Amanda, you had it at 9. And Matt, you had it at 14 as well. So a few of you not missing too many points, and a few of us had a little bit too much faith at the box office for War for the Planet of the Apes. Dan, what did you feel like was the reason that War for the Planet of the Apes didn't do better at the box office?
People don't like good movies? I don't know. I think a lot of people kind of got disappointed because it wasn't a war, and I think it didn't have good buzz because people were expecting this action film. And while the critics love it, I think fans didn't have the same affection for it. So I think that probably impacted it overall.
Yeah, I think you might be onto something there. None of us had the next three movies listed at all. That would be Split, The Greatest Showman, and Wonder, which was 22, 23, and 24. Some of us did have number 25 listed, though. 25th at the box office. I couldn't be happier that we got this wrong. That would be Transformers The Last Knight at 25. I had it number 10. Dan, you had it number 9. Amanda, number 10, and Matt, number 9. So we all had this 9th or 10th all the way down to 25. Matt, does that signal a downward trend in the end of the reign of Transformers when it comes to the box office, or should we expect a rebound soon?
Oh, man. Like, you cannot use any logic on these Transformers films, whether it's in the movie or in the industry. So, like, I'm not even going to try to predict that. I just think that the Optimus Prime is King Arthur was just a bad premise. I don't know. Like, part of me is like, hey, if you like the movies, I want them to do well so you get more of them. I'm just not a fan, and it's not going to get my money ever.
All right. Fair enough. So that's the top 25. There's only a few films that people had ranked outside of that, so we'll just go over those individually. We've already revealed all of my picks because Transformers, The Last Knight would have been my worst ranked one. Dan, you had a couple other ones still to mention, though. We have Blade Runner 2049, which ended up at number 34. So Blade Runner missed it by quite a bit, but not nearly as much as your other pick that didn't make it, which would have been The Dark Tower, which it came in at the 52nd spot.
Yeah, that was kind of wrong.
So Blade Runner and Dark Tower taking you down a little bit with those two picks. Amanda, we have revealed all of your films except for one. Your number 15 pick was Kingsman, The Golden Circle.
I thought it was going to do better.
That ended up at 33. So just almost a little bit more than doubled what you had that one at. And Matt, you only had one left to reveal as well, and that would be Pitch Perfect 3, and that ended up at the 30th spot. So those are all the reveals, but that doesn't do all the math for us. So I guess if you want to break it down a little bit, if you were just to add up all the places that each film was, so, you know, a film is...
Don't give me hypothetical math. Just give me the rankings.
I'm saying there's two different ways to score. So if a film ranked number one, if you got 1 point for it, and if a film ranked at the 30th, you got 30th, etc. If you did all that, my total points would be 173. Dan, your total points would be 216. Amanda, your total points would be 186.
Dang.
And Matt, your total points would be 184. So if we're doing it that way, the rankings would be myself, Matt, by 2 points over Amanda.
What?
And then Dan.
I thought he had 184 and I had 187.
Yeah, you want lower points. Lower points is good.
What?
But there is a second way that we could score it, and that is just how much each pick was off. So, for example, if you had Star Wars Last Jedi at number one, that would be a zero difference because it came in at number one. So, you know, if you had Spider-Man at number six and it came in at number two, that would be a four-point difference. So if you do it that way, the points off you were, I would be 81 points off. Dan, you would be 120. Amanda, 98. And Matt, 102. So that's an average of 5.5 places off for me, 8 places off for Dan, Amanda, 6.5, and Matt, 6.8. So the only difference there is one way Matt comes in second, and the other way Amanda comes in second. It still leaves me first in both of them, and still leaves Dan fourth in both of them, even though Dan should get some type of victory here because he had the most right on the dot. So are we scoring it the wrong way, Dan, or is there another way we should be doing this?
I'm going to abstain because I don't want to anger Matt or Amanda. So, you know.
No more talk about math before Amanda gets upset. So Dan definitely had the most right. He had three of them were right on the dot. You had another three that were only one off. But then what hurts you is the Dark Tower, obviously, and Blade Runner being substantially off.
Yeah, I thought watching it was going to hurt me enough, but no. Now it's
so the only thing we have to decide, and I don't know the best way to do this, but if we're doing the actual place, like I said, Matt wins over Amanda by 2 points for second place. If we're doing the positions off, Amanda would win by 4 points over Matt. So I think they are both the wrong people to ask. So Dan, what would be your vote for how to do it?
I don't think we'll... let's keep it consistent and do it since we're going to be doing it differently this year and doing the results based upon the lowest number scoring. Let's go that way. And I don't know who what order that ends up winning, but I say keep it consistent with our new draft method to make it most sense.
All right.
Just my 2 cents.
All right. So that being
don't hate me.
That being said, we are introducing a new way to do it this year, a little bit different than last year because and about the last 3 or 4 years that we've done it, because I think we've done this is the fourth year maybe that we've done this. And before we've always picked either the top 10 or the top 15 and just seeing how close we got. But it seems like more and more that there's a lot of films at the top that are somewhat predictable. Whether it's because of the sheer number of comic book films or franchise films that come out, and it becomes harder and harder to kind of get a variety, or what we've seen noticed in the past is we talk about the same movie like 3-4 times over the course of the record. So we wanted to try to make it a little bit easier on the listeners so you don't have to hear us talk about the same film over and over again. So we're going to do a draft. We're each going to draft a team, our box office, I guess, roster, and we're going to go one at a time, and then we're going to end up with a team of 7 movies each. And how we win is our 7 movies, if you add up their ranks at the end of the year, are lower than everybody else. So, for example, if you had all top 7 films at the box office, you would have the lowest ranking because 1 plus 2 plus 3, et cetera, is going to be lower than everybody else. So hopefully that makes sense to at least 2 people out there. And we only have 3 listeners, so hopefully two out of the 3 understood that. Before we get into the actual picks... Dan, we've talked about this before. There's different processes we can use. We can compare it to like another film within that franchise or within that series. We can compare it to a similar film just in general that might not be directly connected to it. We can look at dates and time of year they come out and who they're going against. We can look at the fact that, you know, sometimes certain genres do well. What was your method as far as compiling like your list of hopeful picks, I guess, your rankings, so to speak?
Well, I guess this year, you know, is different since we're doing a ranking and we're doing almost a team basically. So it's a different mythology, not mythology. That's not at all the word. So my thought process going in is this year is weird because I feel like there are, you know, some big like up top, there are some big franchises that seem pretty easy, but everything after that, like, I don't know. Like, the animated films was the thing I was looking at, and like, I'm not sure where these are going to go. So I'm looking for most consistency, and then, you know, looking early on, my goal is, you know, like with regular fantasy draft, high floor, high, you know, just to have that, making sure I'm not drafting, like, you know, the Dark Tower in the first round or or what have you. But then, you know, as looking at trying to find that one, what's going to be the it of this year? What's going to be the Jumanji of 2018? And I don't obviously don't know, but I have some ideas of what that could be. You know, looking at where could that nostalgia of the 90s come back? What is the big horror film that's going to be, you know, what is the other big surprise that might come out of nowhere? So it's just trying to consider that, to try to find that hidden gem. It was more of my focus putting this together than years past.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting too, because there's so many films coming out in 2018, like usual, I guess, but there's so many films that are directly connected to another franchise or a series or something that we've seen in the past. So it's going to be interesting to see how we kind of gauge what the interest is going to be in 2018 for that specific franchise or title. Another thing that will be interesting, like you said, is, you know, the variety of animated films or comic book films. And one thing that we've done in the past that or we started to see in the old way that we were doing it is, you know, trying to kind of go outside the box and pick that random movie that, like you said, like that lightning in a bottle that no one else is going to pick that's going to help us. And this is a little bit different because you might want to have some safe picks. But again, we're going to highlight 28 movies here that we think are going to make money at the box office. So there should be plenty of variety for the listeners. As we talked about before, the order will be myself, then Matt, then Amanda, and then Dan. And then in the second round, Dan will start it off and we'll snake back that direction, so to add a little bit of fairness there. Matt, any last words that you want to go over? What was the most biggest thing that you were looking at when you were trying to come up with some of your for sure things that you wanted, like your wish list?
Man, I said it before we started recording, but I'm gonna say it again because I think it still stands. The first 10 are easy. It's right after that, like Dan was saying, right after that it just gets very muddied and very, like, I mean, you know, like, I don't know how well any of these are going to do after the big franchise ones. And then I don't remember my second thought, but I'm sure it was really good and very important.
I'm interested to see what you think are the 10 that are really easy, because I only got about 6 at my list that are separated from the rest. So I'm unsure about everything. Like, my 1 through 6, I'm sure about. Everything under that is a big question mark. I know a bunch of them are going to make money, but I have no idea what order they're going to end up in. Amanda, what was your mode or your method as far as compiling your possibilities?
Trying to get a little bit of everything, and then if there was something else in, like a franchise, or, you know, if it was a sequel, I tried to look at how the other films did, or the last most installment, to see if I could compare and if I thought it was going to be worth it.
All right, sounds good. I guess let's get right into the picks here. I actually wish I was picking second, Matt, because I think the second pick is a no-brainer based on what the number one pick is. So I wouldn't have to think if I was going second. But with going first, I'm risking picking the movie that is not going to end up at number one. It's down to 2 films for me. I'm not going to say what they both are just in case, but I'm somewhat scared about the release date of one of them, I guess, and seeing if that's going to affect the trend. This is going to be silly, probably, but I'm going to go with Avengers Infinity War with the number one pick, even though a comic book film has not been number one at the box office for at least 2 years, 3 years, at least 3 years it hasn't happened. So a comeback, maybe Avengers Infinity War, number one. That's what I'm going with, Matt. You're on the clock for your number one pick.
Oh, no, it's no brain, Black Panther.
That is not, like, the one I was thinking about.
You were going to choose Solo over Black Panther? Ooh, if I'm going just off the Twitterverse, I think that there's no competition there. Just off of what I see on my Twitter account, like, one of them's got a lot of hype, one of them's got a lot of hate.
All right, so that means that Avengers and Black Panther are off of the board. Excuse if you hear typing or whatnot during this record, but I gotta try to somewhat keep track of where everybody is at. So that means it goes to Amanda for for the number three pick. What do you have?
Well, my number one pick was also Black Panther. So I'm gonna go all over my list, not even going in order now.
You have time if you need to think about it. If you need to peruse the list, come up with your perfect number one. I can mumble for a long time.
No, I don't want any of that. I'm gonna go with Fantastic Beasts 2.
Fantastic Beasts 2 for Amanda. Dan?
Wow, so this is unexpected. I'm not gonna lie. So I get two picks here because we're doing the snake draft.
Yes, you get the next two picks.
All right. Well, that's a lot of pressure, but I feel like it would be wrong for me not to pick Star Wars Solo, and I'm gonna go with Solo, Star Wars Story. I am really worried about it, to be honest with you, just because. As Matt mentioned, well, one, there's no trailer out yet, which seems odd for a film that's supposed to be coming out December or in May.
Right.
So
3 months.
Yeah. But it's still Star Wars, so I feel like it's still. I mean, even the prequels made a lot of money, and they weren't good. So, still think as long as it comes out this year, like that's. That's my only concern, honestly. It's like that. If it comes out, it's making money. If it doesn't, then that's gonna stink. That's gonna hurt me. So then, you know, for my next, had to switch my strategy, but a little bit. But again, I talked about having a high floor, and no one has a higher floor than Pixar. So it makes sense to go with The Incredibles 2. You know, the movie people have been waiting for forever. You know, I know Coco wasn't as high as people would hope, but this, well, you know, Incredibles is coming back. A lot of people have really high expectations. Hopefully Brad Bird can kind of bring it back. He has not had a lot of luck recently, but hopefully going back to this will smooth that over. So, you know, I feel good though. Start with Star Wars and Pixar. That's a, you know, that was to me a two first round picks. So I'm happy where I'm at.
Yeah, I think the one thing that adds to the possibilities for Incredibles 2, I mean, obviously Incredibles made good money. I mean, it was $260 million, I believe, at the box office domestic. But I think the recent thing where we saw the other sequel, Finding Dory, where that made just under $500 million. So, I mean, Finding Dory was a huge hit, and it connected well. So you got to think Incredibles 2 is somewhat in a similar vein. So I think that's a decent pick. That means it's going to swing right back to Amanda. A lot of movies out there that you can pick from. What's going to be the strategy here, and where are you going to go with your second pick?
Deadpool 2.
Deadpool 2. So Amanda is going to check off Deadpool 2, another comic book film. That's usually a good bet. Matt, what do you got next?
Oh, man. Like, Incredibles 2 is so strong, especially after seeing what Jumanji did. But, like, since that one's gone, I'm going to go with Wreck-It Ralph 2, like the littler brother version.
So two animated sequels, which is an interesting year because we're getting all these animated sequels or extra chapters in their franchise. So Wreck-It Ralph and Incredibles 2 both gone. Wow. I want to go with one because I feel like the other one just made so much money, but it was just not that good. But are people going to flock to the sequel? And then there's a lot of, at least a few comic book films left out there too. Oh man. I feel like I have to go with it just because the first one made such a ridiculous amount of money. I guess I'll go with Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. It hurts to have a film on my list that I'm not necessarily anticipating that much, but I will go with Jurassic World. Fallen Kingdom. Are we snaking back around the rest of the way, or Dan, does it go back to you at this point?
It goes back to you, Kevin, because you get two.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. If I'm going with another one, then I will go with... Oh, man. I will go with Aquaman, I guess.
Whoa.
I don't know. Wonder Woman did good.
That's like, New Kid on the Block, maybe it could work. It's like he showed promise in the combine. Like, you know, he's got good stats.
I just picked two films.
You know, will it actually play when he's on his own? Will it come out? You know, you don't know.
Yeah, and it's such a late December release currently too that might be risky because it could get pushed. But yeah, Jurassic World and Aquaman, not two picks that I'm proud of, but I feel like I can't ignore the drawing power of what has come before him in a couple. I don't know. I'm gonna stop talking. Matt, pick another one.
So I did a lot less research than I would normally do for one of these because I just didn't have the time. So I don't know how well some of these did, so I'm going to choose Mission Impossible. Does that vamping make any sense? I'm afraid of some of these comic book movies. There are a lot left.
Mission Impossible is definitely one I was considering. The last couple were right around that 200 million mark, and that's usually enough to get something in the top, you know, 15-ish area. So depends on how that one plays out. But I think Mission Impossible 5 was 195. Mission Impossible 4 was 209. So it's definitely something that has the potential. Amanda, you got a lot of great picks left?
Oh, man, I got some stuff to pick from. Let's do Mary Poppins Returns.
You don't seem confident in that? Is that a question or an answer?
Poppins, y'all.
All right, so Amanda has gone with Mary Poppins, y'all, which goes back to Dan for a twofer. Lots of good options, Dan. Where are you going?
Yeah, a lot of good options. And, like, I'm going to go with the start, Ant-Man and the Wasp. The first Ant-Man did well. It's also going to be coming after Avengers Infinity War, so, you know, people will be in that Marvel high, I would assume. It's a third, you know, Marvel film. The trailer looked pretty solid. It looks like it'll be funny again. You know, I obviously don't need it to be a top 10. If it's in the top 15, I should be set. So, and we've seen sequels succeed more so than the original. Like Thor Ragnarok exceeded expectations. Maybe Ant-Man and the Wasp could do the same. So here's hoping. It looks like they even put more budget-wise behind it. So a little bit excited where that could go. My next pick, though, that's where it gets tricky. I think this is, to me, where everything is kind of a there's a lot of animated films out there. There's some, you know, the potential to get. There's a few ways to go, but I'm thinking I'm gonna go animated, just because I feel like animation there's less of a competition. Like animation is usually a safe bet, because families are always looking for that movie to go out to for their kids, especially if they can say it's from the studio that brought you. And when you can say it's the studio that brought you Despicable Me. Good sign. Even like, and so I'm gonna go with Dr. Seuss's The Grinch.
Damn it!
As my next pick, I think it could be one of those things that could do not that well, or it could be gigantic. You know, people, you know, love the obviously the other cartoon. The Jim Carrey movies did okay, but going back to the world of animation, being from the people who did the Despicable Me films, Benedict Cumberbatch is The Grinch. You know, so it has a lot of potential to it. So I feel like that this has the most upside. It may not have a low floor, but I think it has an upside to be a top. It could be a top five movie if all the ducks are in a row. So I'm going to go with it here.
I don't like you, Dan. No, I'm just kidding.
I didn't even know that was coming out.
Yeah, I thought I could pull this one off with my next set of two picks. Like I could squeeze that in there because of not only the other Despicable Me people being behind it, but the last time we got a Grinch movie, it made like $260 million. It's coming out around Christmas time, so you kind of have that holiday feel. The only question is, it's coming out like 2 weeks before Wreck-It Ralph 2. So will they cannibalize each other or not? But I think, Dan, that's a great pick. Amanda, I'm surprised that wasn't an early pick for you.
I really thought about it, but I didn't know how much money it would actually make.
All right. Well, what are you more confident in then?
I'm going to go with Cloverfield 2017.
Every one of your picks so far has been a question.
I am never confident with these things. I lose every time. How can I be confident in my choices, sir?
You got third this time. You didn't.
Or arguably second.
Second. What?
You got second or third, depending on which way you go. You scored.
I'm not winning. I know that.
All right. So why Cloverfield? Any thoughts on your pick?
I thought that was a pretty popular choice, and I don't know how much, you know, they need to pack into the budget.
All right. Yeah, I think it might have gained a lot more of a following once that other one, once the last one came out, and once people were able to see it even on like rentals or, you know, after it was out of theater, so it might have gained some steam there that we're not even aware of. I have two picks. Man, The Jungle Book in 2016 made $360 million.
Hey, wait a minute.
Oh, shoot, you're up first.
Maybe I want this Jungle Book movie.
That's a flub by me.
I should have just let you keep vamping until you told me the good next pick.
I didn't tell you the title yet.
Well, is it the next Jungle Book movie? Like, this Jungle Book movie is the one that got pushed back, like, twice, right?
Yeah.
I'm afraid of that. I didn't even put it on my list because of that. So, like, you could totally have it if you want. There are so many movies that I'm worried aren't actually happening. Like, are we really going to get, like, what, like, two Spider-Man movies and an X-Men? Like, I'm terrified. I'm going to say X-Men Dark Phoenix, afraid that that's not going to happen.
All right.
Legitimately afraid.
Dan, have you heard anything about X-Men Dark Phoenix? I'm so in the dark on that one. Ha.
So yeah, I mean, some things, like, there's been some just production shots and things like that. Nothing, no trailers or anything of that nature. No, it's not Bryan Singer, it's a different director. I'm the same. Like, I actually like ranked all my films like just in order, just to think where I'd put that. And I put it at 23, just because I feel like that franchise it's already like. I think people have already moved on, but they're still making movies. So they're just waiting for Marvel to take it over. But Apocalypse did do pretty well, decent enough. And it could be really good because with a new director, maybe they could bring something to it. And if it could, again, be one of those films that ends up being, reclaims it because, Days of Future Past did really well. So it's if they make a good movie, it could do well.
All right. So X-Men Dark Phoenix on to Matt's squad. He didn't fall for my fake trying to get him to pick the Jungle Book movie. No, I'm just kidding. I am going with the Jungle Book film, and I'm scared to death of this one, too, because people just saw a Jungle Book film, so maybe they'll be like, we just saw this. We're not interested in it. But it does have some good people behind it. I know it's had some production woes and this, that, and the other, but it's the last one made so much money. Like I said, $360 mil. It's coming out in October, so there's somewhat of a vacancy in October as far as everything else I have ranked in like the top 30. I don't have anything else that came out in October ranked in the 30s. So I'm going to go with Mowgli as one of my picks. I think that's the official title for
it. Not anymore.
What?
Not they changed anymore. It? Mm-hmm.
Do you know what the real title is?
The Jungle Book.
They're really calling it The Jungle Book?
Yeah, it's called The Jungle Book again. Yeah.
Oh, they're just torturing people. Like IMDb, Jungle Book. Oh, too many choices. Well, that's weird. All right, so Jungle Book. I wish it would have been just called Mowgli, but I'm somewhat excited to see another take on it, even if I just saw a take on it, just because I love the story and I liked some of the people that it involves, so we'll see. I want to go with an animated film because I don't have one, but I'm so scared of the ones that are left out there that I'm going to hold off on that. I'm going to go with one that hopefully can hit the right audience, and it's scary because there's two that are very similar that are both coming out in the same month. And I don't know exactly which way to go, but I am going to go, because it's later on in the month, so maybe it'll have, instead of having the other one knock it out, this will be the one that knocks the other one out. So I'm going to go with Ready Player One in late March sci-fi thing coming out. I couldn't find anything really to compare this about. I have this making somewhere around $200 million, but there's not a lot for me to compare this. I tried to go with another like science fiction film that was based on something else that kind of came out. Like Tron Legacy made like $170 million. I don't know if that's a real fair comparison because this one has a lot more nostalgia and it's got Spielberg behind it. But Spielberg sometimes can work magic. So
more nostalgia than Tron? All Tron is nostalgia.
I think Ready Player One is going to be more.
I was going to say, Ready Player One hits, like, see, Tron hits 80s nostalgia, 80s sci-fi nostalgia. Ready Player One has the Gundam in it. It has the DeLorean in it. Like, it hits all of the nostalgias.
Yeah.
All of them.
So I got Mowgli and Ready Player One. That means Matt, if I can get the order right, it goes back to you.
Yeah. Oh, man. I've already blown through all of my top lists and half of my secondary ones. I think I'm gonna go with another animated that you were afraid to take. I'm gonna go with Hotel Transylvania 3. The Hotel Transylvania 2 made 20 million more than 1. Mm-hmm. And so if that trend continues, this should be easily in the top 15. So fingers crossed.
All right. So that is Matt's next pick, another animated film off of the board. Amanda, we're starting to get closer to rounding up our teams. What do you have as your... This should be your fifth pick.
I'm going to go with Creed 2.
Creed 2. Why Creed?
I think there was a lot of hype around the first one, and it has a super small budget. Or it had, the first one did, so.
All right, so you think it's going to succeed based on the hype of the first one. And it's got, I know nothing about
Michael
Creed 2.
Michael B. Jordan?
Well, we already know it has Michael B. Jordan. I thought they were doing something.
I would hope.
It doesn't. Aren't they bringing back, whatchamacallit, one of the old villains or something? All right, Dan, so that means it is your turn for your number 5 and number 6 pick. Remember, guys, we're only picking 7, so these are your two, I guess, second to last and third to last picks.
All right, well, I didn't think I would pick this film because I like, considering where I was, but I know the last Transformers film didn't do really well, but it still make what was still 25th place, and how many movies have we gone through so far? And Michael Bay's out. This is talking about nostalgia. This is a movie taking place in the 80s. Bumblebee seems to be like the character people do like. It's from the director who did Kubo and the Two Strings, so maybe it will be good. So I'm gonna go with Bumblebee as my next pick. It's again it. It's one of those that it'll probably make money. It'll probably be within the top 30. So I think, but will it be in the top 10 or something like that? Maybe not.
I think something else too that is interesting and could make this a really good pick is this film is basically occupying the Star Wars slot for this year. Like it is the, I guess Aquaman, you could put that in too, but Aquaman and Bumblebee are both kind of in that void that is left by Solo being released in May instead of December. So we've had a lot of money being made in the month of December in the last 3 years, so maybe there's enough to go around for both Aquaman and Bumblebee. What's your second pick?
And that's a good question. this one, it's tough, because there's a lot. This is where it gets really, really shady. It's like, this could be good. You know, there's two animated films I'm thinking about. I don't want to say either of them, just in case. But you know what? I got two picks left after this. It's going to be a long time. And then I'm not going to probably have a name brand on my list like this in quite some time. So I'm going to go Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. My biggest concern is that it doesn't come out because it's an animated film that's coming out at the end of the year. But we do at least have a teaser. It's like Miles Morales coming out, being the main character, which is great. So again, I don't need this to be 10 film. I'm just trying to, within the top 30, it could be in. I feel like it's a safe bet being a comic book movie. I don't know what else to compare it to. Maybe Lego Batman. We've never really gotten an animated film like this on the big screen since what, Batman, Night of the Phantasm, or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. And that didn't do really well way back then, but we're obviously in a very, very different world right now when it comes to comic book movies. So I'm going to go Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse and hope for the best.
Interesting that they're actually already showing that teaser in the movie theaters, because we saw that behind the last movie we watched. So people will definitely know about it if in fact it is coming out in December, because they're already showing the teaser. Amanda, your second to last pick, what do you got?
I'm going to go with The Nun.
The Nun. I don't even have that on my list to cross off.
What
is that?
Nope.
It's the spin-off movie with one of the characters from the Insidious movie.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
It was on my list as well. Like I thought about picking it, but it's a good choice.
Interesting. Pulling one out of left field. I like it. The Nun coming out there for your sixth pick. That means, Matt, you're down to your second to last pick here.
Oh, man. I've got a lot of guys left that I didn't expect to have left at this point. So how, like, has Disney 100% officially obtained Fox? Like, has that all gone through and been approved or whatever?
I don't think they've gotten to the point where they can be
approved yet.
Oh, man. Because that's got me afraid. Like, is Venom going to come out this year? Like, is that movie going to happen? That movie might not happen. How many Spider-Man do you get in a year?
Oh, as many as you need, I guess.
Venom has been rumored since what year?
Yeah, exactly. Oh man, I'm not even gonna touch it. I'm gonna go with Rampage. I feel like the people that are going to get the like whole, oh man, that's just like that video game I played as a kid. Like, it's gonna get some of that, but I think more it's just gonna get the people that like went to Skull Island.
All right, so Rampage off of the list. Too Afraid to Go After Venom. We'll have to see how that works out for you. I have to pick an animated film. I have to have at least one. And to me, there's really only about two other options. Maybe three, I guess you could make an argument for. But I got two ranked a little bit higher than that, so I'm going to go with one of those. I didn't know what to compare this one to exactly. I have one that is from the same studio that did Happy Feet, which was about a $200 million movie. And then I have another one that's from the studio that gave us Kung Fu Panda and How to Train Your Dragon, which were both about $215. So I'm not sure which way to go. One comes out in March, one comes out in September. I will go ahead and go with... Let's go with Sherlock Gnomes. I don't know why that scares me a little bit, but we'll go with Sherlock Gnomes as my one animated pick.
There's Peter Rabbit and you chose...
Yeah, dude.
I don't know. That's what I have higher
on my list. How did Romeo and Juliet do?
That's the one I should have compared it to.
Pretty well, actually. It did decent.
I could just go with the other animated pick, I guess, that I was thinking about, but I feel like... Seeing if there's anywhere else I want to go here. I'm perusing the list a little bit. My clock hasn't...
You already put your shit down, bro.
I feel like your final answer. You already put your
name
answered.
On that, too. Your name is Sherlock already...
Sherlock Gnomes, yes. I get two picks.
You get two picks?
Oh, the last pick.
Yeah, he does.
You're keeping Sherlock Gnomes.
I know. I already got it.
No, I'm saying you're keeping Sherlock Gnomes.
Yes. That is one of my picks. And for my second pick, you did mention Peter Rabbit. I will just go with... Oh, man, I wish the first one of this film did better because I would pick it automatically. There's also the... Oh, God. Okay, I will just go with Smallfoot, the other animated film, because I've run out of other films to pick.
The hell is that?
That's from the people that did Happy Feet.
Is another penguin movie?
Yeah, that's on my list.
Yeah, I'll go with Sherlock Gnomes and Smallfoot and hope that hedges my bets that I get some animation love.
I am not feeling so bad about my picks right now.
Did you say that was the last thing you had left on your list? Because there's no way.
It's the last thing I have in the top 20 in my list. Everything else was below that. So, Matt, last pick. You should have plenty of choices then.
Oh, yeah, no, I've got a lot of choices. I mean, none of the things Amanda said were even on my radar. Let's go fun. Let's go with Holmes and Watson.
All right, comedy Sherlock Holmes and Watson pick. There usually is a comedy that sneaks in there somewhere, so I can see that. Watson and Holmes.
It's got star power. I mean, it's got the stepbrothers in it, right?
Yeah. All right, so another one off the board. Amanda, last pick.
Oh, I need a comedy as well, and I'm going to go with Super Troopers 2.
Super Trooper 2. I had that early on in my list until I saw what Super Troopers made, but maybe that was a movie that you guys were probably fans of that right away, but the Super Troopers one that kind of became a cult favorite after the film?
Yeah, I mean, people... Yeah.
Bad, my bad. That's why I'm hoping. I discounted it on the value of the first film, what it made, so. All right, lots to choose from. Dan, what do you got?
Yeah, like every other movie coming out this year right now. So we talked about Venom. That's there. But there's one. You know, I don't know how this is gonna do. Like the other films did well. Right now I'm debating between Ocean's 8 and Venom. Like those are the two that kind of are in my head. Everything else that I had in my top 20 has already been taken. There's also Mortal Engines, which I'm debating about. Like, we got a little teaser trailer for that. I think that could, you know, Peter Jackson. But It's an original property, so who knows? You know, it's a lot of different to choose from.
Based on a book, though, so it has that.
I mean, sorry.
I guess it's new to film.
Yes. I mean, new to film. Like, it's not like another. There's not another one. There's also A Wrinkle in Time, which I think can make like a lot of money or be like or make nothing, just because it's a fantasy film. And we also talked about Peter Rabbit as well.
I like the stalling tactics. I like it.
I mean, this is what they want you to do on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, is just keep talking.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't need
exactly.
filibuster. So I'm going to go with...
I'll go with Ocean's 8. You know, it's not a really comedy, but... I think it, you know, we saw well what Wonder Woman did. It's hugely it's got a lot of stars. The other Ocean's films did make a lot of money, so I'm thinking like that could certainly help it out a lot. I almost went with Venom, but like we said, maybe it won't even come out this year. I know Ocean's 8 is definitely coming out this year, so
okay,
I'm gonna go with it.
All right. What we're going to do next, we're just going to reveal what the seven movie team is for each group. I'll give you guys each a chance to react about who you think is the early favorite or any surprising picks from anybody. And then just towards the end, we'll talk about the ones that just didn't quite make the cut, what we were considering, though. So I will go first since I had the first pick. I have Avengers Infinity War, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, Aquaman, The Jungle Book, Ready Player One, Sherlock Gnomes, and Smallfoot. Matt, do you have yours written down, or do you need me to read them off?
I'm good. I've got Black Panther, Mission Impossible. Is it Wreck the Internet? Or Ralph Wrecks the Internet? X-Men Dark Phoenix, Rampage, Hotel Transylvania 3, and Holmes and Watson.
All right, Amanda, do you have yours?
Yes.
What do you got?
I don't have them in order.
That's fine.
I've got Deadpool 2. Cloverfield 2017, Mary Poppins Returns, y'all. Fantastic Beasts 2, Super Troopers 2, The Nun, and Creed 2.
A lot of twos. That was your strategy.
Yep.
All right, Dan, what do you got?
I have Solo, A Star Wars Story, Incredibles 2, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Dr. Seuss the Grinch, Dr. Seuss is the Grinch, Bumblebee, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and Ocean's 8.
All right, Dan, we'll give you the first chance to react. How do you feel about your team, and who's your closest competition, or what was the craziest pick you heard?
I feel good about my team. Like I said, there's some I'm not sure about. We'll see. Kevin, seeing that you have Avengers, Infinity War, and Jurassic World makes me think you could have the 1 and 2 film, considering the Jurassic World, yeah. The first one broke the weekend box office record. Avengers Infinity War will probably do the same. Star Wars Solo could easily do that. That's
true.
I'm a little concerned about my first round pick. The one that I guess Super Troopers 2, Super Troopers 2, I didn't consider, but I think it's considering the fact that it is much more of a cult hit. It's been built up for some time now. It's got a lot of fans. It'd probably make much more than the first film. But yeah.
Amanda, is this the year that you take the crown?
Bro, I don't know. Now that I'm looking at my picks, I feel a little bit better about them together. So hopefully it's going to give me at least another 2 spot with all my 2 picks.
And was mine the craziest pick with Sherlock Gnomes?
I don't know what you're thinking, honestly.
I'm going to remember this if it does anything.
If it does, if anybody even goes to see that.
All right. Matt, how are you feeling about your team, and what do you think? How did this whole process stack up for you?
I feel decently comfortable with my picks. Like, I'm not sitting here sad. I do really worry about Amanda's picks, because, like, either she went... Like, a lot of her things were either my third tier or not on my radar at all, and it's like, either she's got, like, all these sleeper hits and I'm just going to get trashed, or not.
We'll see.
Things were cutting down my confidence, man. I was all built up like, yes, this is great.
I feel like you and I are neck and neck in any game we do, so like I gotta trash talk somebody.
For me, I like the films that I have for box office, I guess, but I'm not big fans of like anticipating some of them or seeing them. I guess the strangest thing for me for this whole process was I was down to Avengers Infinity War or Solo, A Star Wars Story, as my one and two. Like, that's what I was debating against, and Solo didn't go until the fourth pick. So that was, I guess, my biggest surprise. But maybe you guys know more about the turmoil and what's causing that. I guess I've stayed away from that for the most part. Matt, you said you had a lot of films that you were considering there at the end. What were some of the honorable mentions, I guess, so to speak? Not really honorable mentions, but just missed being on your team?
I mean, did Pacific Rim 2 get picked?
Nope.
I didn't hear that one.
I thought about it, but that was what I was really considering as my last pick, and I just swayed away from it right at the end. But I think the first one didn't make that much. The first one only made $100 million.
Yeah. My goal was anything around $150 million would be good. So it's like, that's like a later pick for sure. Wrinkle in Time has been advertised to hell and back. I'm a little surprised that one didn't
get Oprah.
But who's a really weird figure right now.
That's the one I was considering. That's the one that I was kind of mentioning when I was going back and forth between that and Ready Player One. They're both sci-fi. They both come out in March. And I just went Ready Player One because of the nostalgia and because it comes out after A Wrinkle in Time, which sometimes can be better because you might kick the other one out of the box office and have a longer staying power. But those were the two that I was considering.
50 Shades Freed I could see doing well. After that, it is kind of a crapshoot. Like, The Predator might do well. Annihilation's getting advertised a bunch. The Quiet Place I've seen crop up here and there. Tomb Raider, we might actually have a successful video game movie.
Yeah, that's true. Some of the other ones, too, that I had along, you already mentioned a bunch of them, but I also had Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. The first one actually made almost $150 million, and I know it even gained some more steam from DVD releases and stuff like that. I wasn't quite sure how to judge Nutcracker in the Four Realms, a fantasy kids family film coming out in early November. And then I also wasn't sure, The Meg. That just seems like it could be a complete doozy of a bomb or for some reason work. And I also wasn't sure how to judge Tomb Raider. I didn't know where to go with that one. Amanda, any others that you were considering that you just didn't quite pull the trigger on?
Sicario 2 and Insidious The Last Key. Definitely Pacific Rim. Everything else has really been talked about, so.
Okay. Dan, anything that hasn't been talked about or any that we did talk about that you were really highly considering?
Christopher Robin, I thought about. The Winnie the Pooh films don't tend to do that well box office wise, and it's a lot of action version of it, so who knows. The horror film Slenderman. I know there's like a lot of talk about Slenderman. It's like in the mythos a lot lately. So we talk about Dwayne Johnson, and you know, he has Skyscraper coming out. It could be his Die Hard, but as we've seen, like, his movies can make tons of money or they can make nothing. Alita Battle Angel.
Yeah,
it's hard to tell with that.
Ghost in the Shell.
Could be, you know, this could. Yeah, it could be Ghost in the Shell, or it could be, this year's Dark Tower, or maybe it could do well. I thought about also the Halloween remake coming out, or the sequel, Red Sparrow. You know, Jennifer Lawrence doing like an action film that you know, it could be like, I don't know, like Atomic Blonde. Like, that's the thing I thought about the most. The other things, Animal Crackers, which was this animated film directed by the guy who did Mulan, the animated version of it, has a pretty stacked cast. I get animated, another animated project. You never know how well those are going to do. And that's pretty much it. We talked about Predator and already. Oh, and there's another animated film, Duck Duck Goose, with the voice of Jim Gaffigan. I don't know. It's, again, animated movie that right. was on my radar, so you never know. But it could also be like that movie Storks that came out and like came and went and no one talked about it. So I ended up going other routes. So
yeah, the only thing that scared me about Animal Crackers is it was supposed to come out like 2 years ago and it keeps getting delayed, so I wasn't quite sure what the story was behind that one. But definitely some interesting animated films, because you have some big sequels like, you know, Incredibles 2 and Wreck-It Ralph 2. You got some kind of first time shots with some companies that have done stuff before that was successful, and then obviously you have the Dr. Seuss, which is a known property. So you got a lot of interesting things coming out in the animated world. And then, like we said, a lot of comic book films, a lot of franchise films. Matt, did you think we did a good job of covering, you know, the top, let's say, 30 at the box office? We have 28 movies on our teams. Is that going to be the top 28 or top, you know, 30 films of the year?
Ooh, no, I'm going to definitely say some of those are going to be, what was it, Dark Tower, that was like 53?
Yeah.
Like, I think there's going to be a couple of these that don't make it. Like if like Holmes and Watson gets 40th, I won't be surprised. But I think we definitely, between all three, four of us, got the top 10. Like, I feel very comfortable in saying that.
Dan, do you agree? Is there no way that there's a film in the top 10 that we have not picked on our teams, or top 15? Do we have those covered?
I won't say no way. I mean, after seeing what Jumanji did, you never know. Like, something could get pushed up or moved around, and suddenly something bad. Like, if Star Wars gets pushed to November, it could really mess things up, and suddenly that was opens the door up for something else that's in May that, you know, that gets a lot of money simply because it's the only thing that's in theaters right now. So I think there's always going to be that one movie people don't expect to do really well. Like, maybe there'll be some, there's like some romantic comedies out there that like this movie Love, Simon I thought about, that could do really well if like they catch on. But I guarantee you there'll be at least one movie that makes the top 15 that we didn't mention tonight.
Yeah, or I guess the dreaded film that we don't even know is being released this year that just that nobody even has heard of yet, that somehow comes out late in the year and makes a big push. So we'll have to wait and see. We will be putting on the website a listing of all of our teams. Maybe we'll even put a poll up for you guys to vote for who you think is the early favorite for winning the box office crown in 2018. So that's another episode here where we kind of shift the focus to 2018. We're going to do the same thing with our next week's episode when we go into our most anticipated. So that really has nothing to do with box office, anything like that. That's just which films are we looking forward to. We'll give you some unique picks for each of us, and then we'll kind of give you the consensus Cinema Geek films that we're most looking forward to. So that's what's coming out next week. If you haven't had a chance, please go back and listen to our 2017 Movie Awards and our 2017 Top Films, and we'll kind of set the stage for what's going to happen here in the year to come, and you guys can kind of keep track of what we're looking forward to, and we'll see how they do. And we'll also take a quick look back at what we were anticipating last year and see how those turned out very briefly. Obviously, you can keep up to date with all the things we do by following us on Twitter. The show handle is @CinemaGeekCast. You can also keep up with all GeekCast Radio related things. We do a lot of stuff, a lot of content coming out there. You can do that by following the GeekCast Radio Network on Facebook or Twitter. You can also interact with us directly through Twitter. So if you have a question or comment about any of the films we picked, why we picked them, or anything about that, you can tweet us directly. Amanda, how would somebody tweet you?
@HardCandyMandy, eyes, no eyes.
What about you, Matt?
I'm @FridleySent.
Dan?
I'm @MovieRevolt.
And I am @OptimusSolo. So that does it for the box office predictions. Tune in next week as we reveal our most anticipated films of 2018.